WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The government today reports on unemployment last month.
Economists are expecting September's jobs picture to look largely the same as the month prior, with hiring down a bit, but average wages slightly higher. Dow Jones consensus says the unemployment rate, meanwhile, will hold steady. It's currently at 4.2%. That would give the Federal Reserve more reason to continue a slow reduction in interest rates.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. Facing the prospect of devastating economic damage, owners of Gulf and East Coast ports and unionized dock workers got tentative agreement on wages, a three-day strike suspended until January 15th, when remaining issues will be hashed out. A judge in Grand Junction, Colorado, sentenced former Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, a noted election denier, to 9 years in prison for granting another election denier unauthorized access to the county's election software after the 2020 election. This is ABC News. Something new with the Menendez brothers in prison for murdering their parents 35 years ago.
With filings by attorneys for Eric and Lyle Menendez claiming there is new evidence to indicate they should get a shortened prison sentence, including new allegations of sexual abuse against their father, the L.A. County District Attorney says his office is reviewing the evidence to possibly ask that the brothers be resentenced. Mark Garagos is representing Eric and Lyle Menendez.
I think it's time. Their family thinks it's time.
The DA says he has not yet decided. A court hearing will be held in November. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Quite the sight in Bedford, New Hampshire. Police and firefighters called to a report of a moose in a backyard swimming pool. Police video shows responders removing a pool covering, and there it was. Once the cover was removed, the moose strolled out of the pool's shallow end and moseyed itself off into nearby woods. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Will White Schoolhouse behind is the birthplace of the Republican Party. Executive Director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, Mandy Kimes.
Whether you love politics or you aren't even interested, there is something here because those ideals and values and lessons and courage can influence us today to be active citizens and to be willing to take a stand and really ordinary people in an ordinary place doing extraordinary things.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Sports.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Big Show, Brady Ewing, former Badger, talking about Badger football. Also, the author of Out of the Darkness, the story of Aaron Rodgers, Ian O'Connor. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 68 this afternoon. Tonight, clear 44. Tomorrow, sunny, becoming windy with a high of 73. We may catch an isolated shower or thundershower tomorrow night. Then on Sunday, sunny, breezy, 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Folks, you're just not going to want to miss this. I've got an incredibly special interview with Illinois Senator and Purple Heart Award recipient Tammy Duckworth.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
I am sure I'm not the only one that's thrilled. It is a Friday. Hello, everyone. Come on in. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. There are a whole lot of tired folks at World Dairy Expo at the Alliant Energy Center grounds here in Madison. One more day to go. This afternoon, they will announce the Supreme Champion starting at around 4 o'clock. You can watch it all, worlddairyexpo.com or Expo TV. Another way to catch all the action. In just a moment, you're going to hear my conversation with Lee McCullough Jordan. You've probably fussed about your kids' graduation pictures, wedding pictures, all those magical moments you want to capture. Well, that's kind of the same thing they're doing at World Dairy Expo, only the focal point is a bovine. How do you make a bovine look beautiful? Stand by. Lee will be sharing that with us in just a moment. Let me share the weather forecast with you. There were a few sprinkles when I came in this morning. Rainfall reporters, if you want to chime in and let me know if you've picked up any rain, our talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. It looks like any showers that are in the area are going to move out by about mid-morning. Cloudy skies until then, and then it should clear. Daytime highs today right around 68 degrees. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, down to 47. Tomorrow, sunshine, 77. Sunday, sunshine and 68. Monday, sunshine and 68 as well. I don't see much in the way of rainfall as far as our forecast is concerned. We'll see what Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has to say about that in about 15 minutes.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
This afternoon at World Dairy Expo, we'll learn the identity of the 2024 Supreme Champion from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, just down the road from World Dairy Expo and all those world-class cattle. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, and I'll tell you what, every one of these animals is so deserving of being at World Dairy Expo. This is the elite of the elite. As one of our guests pointed out, these are like Olympic athletes in their prime. So it figures that a lot of people want to capture some of the physical memories of the show through pictures. Now, everybody's got their cameras these days. Everybody can take a cell phone picture. But what about a professional picture of your animals? Think back to glamour shots. Remember when glamour shots were a thing? You could go in, they would basically prep you and make you look very special, very sparkly. And there you had your glamour shot. Well, I'll tell you what, when it comes to glamour shots at World Dairy Expo, it is not about vanity. It is about marketability. And one person that can tell you all about that is Lee McCullough Jordan. She is one of the professional photographers focused in on capturing those beautiful classic shots of animals at World Dairy Expo. And believe you me, after seeing her setup, your senior graduation pictures pale in comparison to the equipment and the setup that Lee brings for all the dairy cattle that she's taking pictures of at World Dairy Expo. So let's find out more about this cattle glamour shots photographer and how she got started in the business.
I was right place at the right time. I was in college doing an internship with ABS Global.
Yeah.
And at my now current boss, Sybil Fisher, was looking for some extra hands to hire on, and I started working with her. And one thing led to another, and as soon as I graduated from UW-Madison, I started full-time.
Wow. You know, and so explain for people what you are doing. Now, because if we had cattle walking in right now,
sure,
an entourage would spring into action. What are you doing here?
We're trying to, like you said, glamour shots. We're trying to make the heifer or cow look as best as she can to her ability. There's always, I got about 12 people on staff here today, a couple outside getting her ready, getting her cow makeup put on, get her brushed off and looking good. And then on the inside, one person per leg, and it's a matter of an inch forward, inch back to get her looking just right. We want to have their head, their nose up, so you get the length of neck and style. So there's a guy out front making all kinds of weird noises. Trying to get a cow to look is always the trick. It's, you can't tell them to smile, but we can do tricks to get them looking good.
So how long does an average pose take?
Usually here at World Dairy Expo, I would say about 5 minutes at most for half for a cow. Some are more cooperative than others, yeah. Give or take. But yeah, about 5 minutes they're in here, and that's all it takes.
Now, you've got a trained eye. As soon as they start walking in, Leah, what do you see? What do you look at?
Yep. Always when they come in, head to toe, just start from the nose. If they got a long length of neck, if they're carrying more condition,
yeah,
the depth of rib, the leg structure, balance, because the key is to get them the balance.
Yeah.
So every heifer is different. Every cow is different. So it's getting the right inches and dynamics per animal to make her look the best.
Now, we're at World Dairy Expo, so there is plenty of candidates there for a glamour shot and a marketing opportunity. How many you think you're going to go through in 2024?
I would estimate a little over 400 that I would do on my setup. This morning, we're already at over 50 head, and we're just getting started into the shows. Every year, it goes up between Sybil Fisher, who I work with. We each have a setup, and combined, it's usually over 1,000 photos. So it kind of goes back and forth between the shows, and we're definitely busy.
So for people that aren't in the dairy industry, where do they use the pictures?
A lot of it's for marketability. So if they have offspring out of the animals or sisters they can sell.
Yep.
But there's also a good portion of the clients where their kids are taking their calf out. It's been their project for a year long. Mm. And at the end of the day, whether she was first or she was down a little ways, they just want a picture of the calf. That's been their project.
Memory. Yeah. And we see those pictures, if you're in the dairy industry,
yeah,
pop up all over the,
yeah,
place. Do you have, yep, copyrights on this kind of stuff, or do they buy it and use it?
Yep, they are. Everything is copyrighted. So when they purchase it, they have, we do unlimited use. So they get a digital, yeah, copy to use as they please. But we still, as the photographers, do own the copyrights. Mm. So we can, if other publications ask, mm-hmm, for certain animals, we can still reuse those photos again.
You got to have stories. You've got to have either cool stories or not so,
yes,
cool stories when,
yes,
you're working with animals, oh, and children. You know, yes, what I'm saying? And she knows how to work with both. But share a couple of those stories, because this is a facet of the dairy industry not a lot of people necessarily know about.
Yes. Yeah, but it's definitely a niche market. And like I said, every animal is different, and you never know how they're going to react. You think they walk in, they're calm, they're dopey, relaxed. And as soon as someone makes a move, I mean, they will light up the action and they might take off. There's always the surprise pooping or peeing,
oh, yeah,
somewhere, the sneezes, and the poor guy up front will get covered. Like I said, there's always action, like the behind the scenes. But for everything that goes wild and crazy, there's just as many that, yeah, walk in are absolute dolls to work with.
Yeah. Now, what about the people? They've got an opinion on how their animals look or how their animals,
absolutely,
should look.
Yeah.
Interaction, or are you like quiet on the set?
Nope. I'd rather people give their feedback, because ultimately they're paying for the product. We all have different opinions on stuff. So I set them the best of what everyone has a style,
yeah,
of what I think they should look like. But I definitely take feedback if they want, certain ones want their head turns, or if they want them a little higher, lower. I definitely want to try to please the client to the best of my ability.
Sure. Now let's talk a little bit about, World Dairy Expo is one show.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you must do multiple shows. Tell me what the circuit for you looks like, Leah. And like,
yeah,
we said, you've got a family, so,
yeah,
you have to manage that too.
Yeah. Definitely a balancing act. Our busiest season, we start about the end of February. It's not as much for the shows, but working for the bull studs,
oh,
and just getting ready for, there's a lot of spring sales. Through the summer, we primarily work with a lot of the shows, whether it's county level, district, state, national. Then into the fall is primarily the larger shows. World Dairy Expo is a big feature. And then the North American International Livestock Exposition is another large one. And then we kind of wind down about the first week in December. So it's pretty packed. It's when it rains, it pours, we always say, because it's one of those, it's a very flex job. Like I said, I have a family. I have three small children at home, so it's nice to balance it where my husband and I, one's on the road and one's at home. But it's definitely a balancing act.
Right. So does he photograph too?
He works on crew with me a lot, but he's actually a cattle fitter. So there's a lot. It's in the family.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of jobs that I work at. Well, he'll actually clip and prepare the animals prior to my arrival. So when he's clipping them, I'm home with the kids, and then when I'm photoing, then he's at home.
There you go. That's a balance of life mix you probably haven't heard of before.
Yeah.
So now I vaguely remember when I was younger, glamour shots and the setup and all that kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
What's changed about your business?
Yeah.
And what are they paying for a pretty picture of that beautiful heifer?
Yep. As we, like I said, things have migrated over time. They used to use a lot of film photography.
Yeah.
Now everything is digital.
Yeah.
But the nice thing with the setup as we have at World Dairy Expo, it's like an indoor studio. So all of the lighting is fixed right on. There's very little touch up to the animals. But if it's one on farm, we do different background changes. So the animal is set, but we do put a different background on them.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the cost at World Dairy Expo, it costs on an average is $160 per photo. And like I said, they can use that as limited as they want, and they can make prints or do as they please with it.
Interesting. So there you go. Something you probably had never imagined about World Dairy Expo. You see those beautiful bovines in the center ring? Well, as soon as they walk out, they come see Leah Jordan and make sure that they are captured for that special moment. And there's many here at World Dairy Expo. And as she said, it doesn't matter if she was bottom of the class or top of the class. If you are one of the select few that get to show animals here, that is a memory, and she helps you capture it. From World Dairy Expo 2024, it's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As state deadlines for voter registrations draw near, new registrations across the United States are down compared to 2024, according to political data and advertising firm TargetSmart. But there are increases in certain demographics compared with 2020. TargetSmart used a combination of state data gathering and modeling and found that 2024 new voter registrations, 8 weeks from the election, were 15.7 million, down 42% from 27.3 million in 2020. The 2024 partisan lean model shows that 48.8% of those registering lean Democratic, 34.3% Republican, and 16.9% unaffiliated. In 2020, 46.7% lean Democratic, 37.3% Republican, and 16% unaffiliated. Among those new 15.7 million registered voters, there are increases in Black, Hispanic, and Asian American Pacific Islanders, and a decrease in new white voters. TargetSmart also found a slightly higher percentage of younger voters over 2020. There was also a slightly lower percentage of women, although the organization found a surge of registrations among Black and Hispanic women after Vice President Kamala Harris became the nominee. We've linked to TargetSmart's report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org, where you'll also find nonpartisan resources where voters can register or check their registration. I'm Brian Beal.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On tomorrow's show, former Green Bay Packer quarterback Ty Detmer joins us for Football Friday, sponsored by Burkle's One Block Over.
And in the Heights Pub and Parlor Live Music segment, we'll hear from Kurt Gunn. Join us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Could try to attend this week. One person that made it to World Dairy Expo and was kind of overwhelmed, Zippy Duval. He's president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. I did not realize, he's from Georgia, that he grew up in dairy. Listen to what he had to say about suddenly being at World Dairy Expo for the first time in his life.
Oh, it's beautiful here. The cattle are beautiful and the people are having a good time. A little windy, but other than that, it's a great time. And I'm a recovering dairyman myself from Georgia, and I have always wanted to come here and never had the opportunity to do that. So this is an exciting day for me. I milked Holsteins all my life because that's what I grew up with. But I always had a desire to milk Jerseys. And my wife right now, is we both lost our first loves to cancer, and we've just been married 3 years ago. And she's got me back in. We got two Jersey cows at home that she's milking. So I'm her relief milker when I go home.
How do you like that? Two Jersey cows back in home in Georgia, but can't get it out of your system, Stu. I think we kind of recognize that in a lot of people in our lives, don't we?
Yeah, it tends to want to be there for some reason. Yeah. I don't know. I like the recovering dairy man thing.
That's true. He was all smiles at World Dairy Expo, though. Zippy Duvall, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. A lot of smiles out there this morning. If we do get a little bit of rain, what kind of totals have you seen so far this morning, Stu?
Little is the key word. 1/100th at the airport in Madison, 4/100ths in Fond du Lac. I saw 2/100ths at Juneau Beaver Dam, if you will, 5/100ths at Wild Rose, and everybody else a lot lower. Elkhorn 1/100th, just really light amounts of rain as that little front did zip on through the area. The front way south of Wisconsin now down into Illinois, Indiana, and even northwest Ohio. But the radar still indicating a few sprinkles. We're seeing Kenosha, so they're holding on there. The rest of us drying out. More sun in the northwest already today. More clouds in the southeast. There's the frost advisory up at Park Falls this morning till 9. They're currently at 30 degrees from what I see, so frosty in far northwest Wisconsin. The rest of us are going to have more sunshine. A bit of a cooler day today behind that cool front. Warming up tomorrow. Another small bit of light rain Saturday night becoming a possibility for all of us. The next cool front swings through out of the northwest, does the same thing. That small chance of rain, and then cools temps off a bit for Sunday. They warm up again for Monday. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
Football players are equipped with standard equipment, helmet, shoulder pads, and cleats. What if the entire front line was issued Bobcat equipment from Bobcat Plus? Not only would the game be more interesting, the added Bobcat attachments would make cleanup and turf grooming so much easier for the groundskeeper.
Visit Bobcat Plus in Kenosha and BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
All right, Rainflow reporters, if you've got something to talk about, the talk text line is open to you, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. And thank you to Charlie from Campbellsport for calling in on an item we'll be talking about next week. Let's talk about this forecast, Stu. Can't really complain about the temperatures or even the possibility of rain this morning. What's that wind going to do?
Not too bad. We get a little break from the breeze today. That's an all right thing, too. Our Compere Financial Ag Weather Forecast does call for morning clouds in the southeast and south, but they'll clear out sunny and colder with some frost advisories in the far northwest today. In the northwest, only in the mid-50s and upper 60s. Further ahead south, northeast winds only 5 to 10. Clear overnight, and a lot of folks falling into the mid and low 40s, upper 30s. Further northeast winds about 5. Sunny Saturday, a beautiful day. Some mid and upper 70s. There may be an 80 here or there, but the south winds pick up Saturday. 10 to 20, even gusting close to 30. That small chance of rain basically Saturday night. And by Sunday, back to more sunny skies. Upper 60s in the south and breezy and cooler back in the 50s the further you head to the northwest. Sunday's winds, Pam, gusting up to 20 and 30 miles per hour once again.
Ooh, yeepa. Yeah, well, they'll get through the Badger game all right then on Saturday, I guess, and the Packers aren't home, so we'll deal with the wind as we see fit.
Good reason to pay attention to the ball game, maybe.
Maybe. All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. Thanks, Stu.
All right. See you Monday.
Stu Muck, ag meteorologist with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com on a Friday.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin.
Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The government today reports on unemployment last month.
Economists are expecting September's jobs picture to look largely the same as the month prior, with hiring down a bit, but average wages slightly higher. Dow Jones consensus says the unemployment rate, meanwhile, will hold steady. It's currently at 4.2%. That would give the Federal Reserve more reason to continue a slow reduction in interest rates.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. Facing the prospect of devastating economic damage, owners of Gulf and East Coast ports and unionized dock workers got tentative agreement on wages, a three-day strike suspended until January 15th when remaining issues will be hashed out. A judge in Grand Junction, Colorado, sentenced former Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, a noted election denier, to 9 years in prison for granting another election denier unauthorized access to the county's election software after the 2020 election. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The American Red Cross in Wisconsin is pleading for volunteers willing to help the Hurricane Helene relief. 30 volunteers with the American Red Cross of Wisconsin have answered the call in recent days. Volunteers will get training. They'll have to commit to 2 weeks of service. Anyone who's interested can sign up at redcross.org/volunteer. Democrat Kamala Harris at the birthplace of the Republican Party Thursday, picking up the endorsement of former GOP Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
She possesses some of the qualities of character that I most respect in any individual and any leader. Courage, especially at a moment like this.
Cheney says she's never voted for a Democrat for president, but she says now is a time to put country before party. Cheney has called Donald Trump a threat to democracy. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Heartbreak in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers went into the ninth inning with a lead yesterday, but a three-run home run by Pete Alonso ended Milwaukee's season. This offseason, the Brewers could move on from Willie Adames, who should command strong interest in free agency.
Well, I can't tell you if I was that or not. I mean, I guess we have to wait, but you know, I would love to be here next year competing with my boys again. You know, it would be great. It would be special. I know the talent that we have in this clubhouse is something special.
Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last week to the Minnesota Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Jordan Love will be another week healthier this week after some struggles last week.
It's hard to go out there and when you just don't have a lot of practice or you have a lot of time off and expect to be at the top of your game.
Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters, Wisconsin, will join us to talk about the newest referendum you're going to see on the November ballot. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high of 68 this afternoon. Tonight, clear 44. Tomorrow, sunny, becoming windy with a high of 73. We may catch an isolated shower or thundershower tomorrow night. Then on Sunday, sunny, breezy, 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Last year, the Combating Auto Retail Scams Bill, or the CARS Bill, C-A-R-S, was passed by the government. And it's supposed to limit the trickery that car dealerships can use when they sell cars. Because the government found evidence that dealers were exploiting women and servicemen and women and people of color when it came to pricing and financing. But this bill has been held back from going into practice because the auto dealers are lobbying against it. And look, as somebody whose teenage daughter is saving up for a car, this tells me I've got to be extra prepared when we go car shopping to ask questions like these. So are there optional add-ons included in this purchase price that I can choose to remove? Can you walk me through each line item on this bill and make sure that I want it and that I consent to pay for it? For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Todd Alba Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community and look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
I love it, Rob.
You know, anything you look at in agriculture today, if you look back at it 40 years ago, things have changed from the seed that we plant right on through to the animals that we're managing today. The dairy cows that we've got at World Dairy Expo today look very different than the dairy animals that were champions 20, 30 years ago. Stephanie Hoff is going to do a little deeper dive into how the industry is evolving in its genetic selection for those dairy animals. What are we looking for? Why do we look for what is in that animal? Stick around. She's got a good guest for us as we roll our way through a Friday. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the fourth day of October. What can I tell you? On this day in 1895, the first U.S. Open for golf was played. 1895. They were at the Newport Country Club in Newport, Rhode Island. 11 people played the 36-hole competition in a single day. And the winning Englishman was 21 years old, took home a trophy and $150 cash. The first U.S. Open for golf in Rhode Island on this day back in 1895. Happy birthday today to actress Alicia Silverstone, 48 years young, and Susan Sarandon turned 78 today. And now you know. Our friends from Helena Agri are along with us this morning. We have to keep an eye on what's going on with the harvest of 2024. We've been blessed with good weather. I know a lot of you are getting plenty tired out there when it comes to the pace of the harvest. Steve Bailey's along with us. He's the market manager down in Monroe for Helena. And let's talk a little bit about your observations, Steve, as far as the quality of this crop. One thing we knew we were getting into from the outset is a big possibility of an erratic crop to be harvested. That can cause you problems in a lot of different ways. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so it's kind of variable, as you'd mentioned. There's anywhere where we manage the crop well and we got some of those later rains, guys seem to be pretty happy with their yields. Now, that being said, I have been in a couple combines where we might not be quite where we want to be, and a lot of those spots are sandy knolls, rocky knolls, places maybe where we couldn't get in with a fungicide or something, and those plants died prematurely, and obviously without the rain in August, we just really couldn't keep that plant going forward. But all in all, I'm pretty pleased with the yields I've been seeing, been hearing, some of the plots we've taken out. I'm pretty happy with that.
Excellent, excellent. Now let's talk a little bit about the crop that remains. I think a lot of the corn silage is done. I think a lot of folks don't have to worry about waiting for the crop to dry down. So if we're looking at corn or beans, evaluating which field goes first could almost be the next conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So that ties right back into the what I just mentioned is if you go out in some of those areas where the soil is lighter, didn't have the ability to feed the nutrients there after the water turned off, I think guys want to get out in those fields, do stock bend tests. So basically you go out in the field, take 10 plants, bend them over at about a 45-degree angle and see if they snap. If they do start snapping over or if they flex or if they kink, that'd help you determine which field you want to get into. Another thing to look at is ear retention. So walk back through those 10 ears and knock them with your finger and make sure the ear stays on, because we might have 200, 220 bushel yield out there, but if that ear doesn't stay on that corn stalk, then that's obviously a problem too.
Oh boy, that is for sure. Now, one thing that we're a little concerned about now, Steve, trying to find financial profitability in this crop is tough, tough, tough. You were telling me about some of the tools that Helena's got to try to help farms evaluate pretty much on the fly what fields are performing, what things are lined up for success. Tell me a little bit more about VRT.
Yeah, so as a branch manager here, we have made the decision, or we've had this young lady on our team, Steph Weiss. She is our precision gal. She does write VRT recs. If you're a whole farm customer of ours, we can write VRT seeding recs and everything. But we had a meeting last week with the whole entire team, and talking about the importance. If you're going to spend the money this year, I would try to get your soil samples done in a VRT fashion. If you've done it in the past, you can utilize that to make sure you're getting the right pounds or allocating the right dollars on the right acres, just to get your best ROI on your investment. So, and that goes for fertilizer this fall. You can look at it as far as seeding rates for next year as you're buying seed right now. Just really hone in and get that almost sniper approach, if you will, of making sure that we get the best results out of what you guys are putting back into the field.
Boy, for sure. You don't want to guess on anything when it comes to these commodity prices. Steve Bailey is along to help you, along with his team. He's market manager down in Monroe for Helena Agri. Again, like we said, they have got a lot of different tools that can help you, not only as you're going through the harvest to evaluate that crop, then as he pointed out, make sure you're making wise decisions when it comes what to inputs, from the fertilizer and doing soil sampling now, right on through to projections with that VRT programming that they've got available. Find out more and get to a location near you. Go to HelenaAgri.com.
Fire up the grills, gather around the table, and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit DairyGirlNetwork.com. Registration deadline is October 8th.
Well, if you hadn't heard, overnight they resolved the port strike along the East Coast, so things should get back to moving today. Still, the Dow Jones Industrial Average this morning right now trading lower. Our commodities in Chicago are also a little mixed. December corn on a Friday morning down 2.5 at 426. November soybeans are up 3.5 at 1050. Right now, December wheat down 8 at 595.5. You know, these dairy markets have been moving in fits and jerks lately, and it can make dairy farmers frustrated trying to figure out what's going on. Mike North, one of the EverAg staff from Platteville, was at World Dairy Expo yesterday, and he said it's all about seasonality right now.
This time of the year, this is actually very normal. It feels a bit manic, but this is actually really normal. And it's what leads us off into those September, October, early November milk highs that we depend on to really push forward great opportunities. And so as I look at this market, it definitely doesn't have this step-by-step perfect rhythm to it. Cheese goes up, milk goes up, cheese goes down, milk goes down. Because right now, everybody's trying to get ahead of that next step of the seasonal curve and still satisfy this big demand that's coming at us really quickly.
Mike North from EverAg at World Dairy Expo yesterday, he said the good news is that the fourth quarter hopefully will bring a little magic to the dairy sector. It's normally when we see fairly strong dairy demand, and it's also setting the way for 2025. Dairy yesterday in Chicago was a little softer. Barrel cheese dropped 3.25 cents to 212. 40-pound block cheese on Thursday was down $2.75. Well, AA butter stood still at $2.68 a pound. This morning, the Class 3 November milk that goes into cheese, it's up 2 cents at $21.85. December Class 3 milk's unchanged, $21.17 a hundredweight. Also, big congratulations to Tom Call from Bud John Farms in Lemira, named the 82nd Klusendorf Award winner. That is the highest recognition given to a dairy cattle showman in the United States. Tom Call from Bud John Farms in Lemira. Congratulations.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
A little TLC is about to go a long way for a boardwalk bridging Kaukauna to the Fox River. The Nelson Family Fund giving the city a $240,000 grant. It will be used to replace more than 2,700 feet of the 1,000 Islands Environmental Center boardwalk. And there's a lot of work planned.
The replacement of the boardwalk itself, it's aging, we have sagging spots. But what that will do is it's going to shore it up, it's going to raise the entire boardwalk up off the ground level.
That's the center naturalist, Brad Garrity. They call the area a beautiful destination, and with these upgrades, it will also be safer and more accessible to all by early next year. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Matt and Air on Air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin early next month down in Baraboo. Charo, what is the secret? Is it the music? Is it the dancing? Are your shows what keep you young?
Yes, I will never get old while music is alive.
Yeah.
You got to move it, move it. I have ants in my pants. I had to move.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Old World Wisconsin's Maria Comiskey for some Freaky Friday talk. And it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr joins us with excellent tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You did manage to pick up some rain this morning. That number again, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Well, as we wrap it up on a Friday morning, you know, the genetics that farmers want in a dairy cow today, not the same as even just 10 years ago. And it won't be the same 10 years from now. That's according to this year's World Dairy Expo International Person of the Year. Paul Larmer from CIMIX was recognized on Wednesday evening as part of the World Dairy Expo recognition banquet. Stephanie Hoff caught up with the award winner and found out what he sees coming in dairy genetics.
Paul hails from Ontario, Canada, and has been in the genetics industry since the 1980s after growing up on a dairy farm. His most recent position was CEO of CIMIX, where he spearheaded innovation in cattle genetics, delivering health traits, millionaire sires, and methane efficiency. After retirement in 2023, he's now the executive advisor at CIMIX, where he stays on top of genetic trends that have been evolving since he got started.
Things like embryo transfer and some of those things weren't near as popular. So we've seen the technology in our industry change significantly over that 40-year span. But, you know, a lot of changes. I mean, at that point in time, we were doing contract matings, and you hoped you'd get a bull calf because you were obviously mating for a bull. But so that was before sex semen. It was before genomics. You know, embryo transfer wasn't as prominent then. So it has changed, and technology's really been an accelerator through the industry.
You've been a part of some pivotal moments in the industry. I listed some of those in the introduction. But why don't you recall for us what stood out to you as a historical step in cattle genetics that you've witnessed in your career?
Well, I think for me, the biggest change was in 2009 with the introduction of genomics. So you went from, you know, waiting for 5 years for a bull to get a progeny proof and a genetic evaluation based on all of their daughters to be able to do that genomically. So you could do the genomic test, you knew within, you know, days and weeks, the genetic value of that animal. So it really increased the speed of genetic gain. It decreased the generation interval, and I think has had probably the most significant change in our industry. And now we see that being adopted by larger farms. You know, typically the breeding side of it was in some of the smaller farms, the breeder type herds. Whereas now we see that acceptance of genomics and genomic testing and embryo transfer and that type of thing in very, very large dairies, because it's a significant tool for them in their profitability and genetic gain.
Paul, you and I are sitting above the barns at World Dairy Expo. Lots of pretty cows are entering the show ring. What's the connection between a cow that looks good to a judge and a cow that produces well in the parlor?
Yes, that's one of the other changes that's happened through the years, is we've seen a much closer tie between, you know, different sectors, different, you know, demographics of our dairy industry, if you will. We see cows out here that have tremendous value from a genetic perspective as well, whereas before, kind of some of those show animals weren't necessarily considered the genetic giants of our industry. So, but now I think you can, you know, it's more synonymous, and I think we're closer to looking for similar types of animals, regardless of farm size, regardless of breeding goals. And I think that's been a tremendous positive progress in our industry as well.
What about the idea of genetics being another value-added opportunity, another revenue stream for a farm?
Well, I think it really is. And now with more readily adoption of in vitro fertilization, that really ups that possibility. It really ramps up that possibility. So taking the top 5%, 10% of the herd and, you know, propagating numerous embryos or replacement animals from that top part of the herd really has changed the breeding game, if you will, on some of those larger commercial dairies. And today, I think, you know, there are bulls going into AI studs. There's females coming from those dairies. And I think that's tremendous. So, and I think we're starting to show the value of genetics and what the value is of better genetics, whereas before I think semen was more of a commodity. Genetics was a bit more of a commodity, and today I think it's seen as one of those profit generators on farm operations as well.
I want your international perspective too, because Wisconsin is a leading state for exporting bovine semen. Trade relationships have to come into play here. In your career, what have you seen when it comes to moving these genetics around internationally?
Well, I think what I've seen is North America really was the export continent, if you would, whether it be into Europe or into Asia or into the Americas. And now I think we see, though we've done such a great job of exporting genetics, that you can't do that and then not think that those countries are going to progress. So we're seeing more equality, you know, across the globe in terms of genetics and the type of genetics. So it's become a real global business, if you will. But, you know, I sort of use the analogy of, you know, you give someone a fish and you feed them for a day. We've taught a lot of people how to fish now. A lot of those countries are wanting to be self-sustaining and develop things themselves as opposed to relying on imports. So along with that, we see more political trade barriers today than probably we've seen through our history as well. So it's no longer just a, you know, do they meet the health regulations and the sanitary regulations and health charts and that type of thing. There's also a lot of political trade barriers we have to work through. So that's, I think, a significant, and I think it will continue to have significance from an export perspective. So, you know, two things. One, we've exported a lot of great genetics. So, you know, those countries aren't as reliant on us as they perhaps were at one point in time. And trade is more difficult because of, whether it be political trade barriers, health regulations and that type of thing, or monetary currency. There's certainly different levels of economics involved country to country. So, you know, that will be a challenge going forward, but it's one that, you know, I think our industry is well positioned to address.
You know, as everyone works to get better when it comes to cattle genetics, have we reached a perfect cow? Is there a perfect cow that's yet to be reached? What's next?
Some people might say, well, you know, yes, we have, but I don't think we ever do, because I think that perspective of the perfect cow continues to change. You know, today we think about things like methane efficiency, a lot more health and disease resistance in cattle and some of those types of things. And that wasn't in our vocabulary 10 or 15 years ago. So that definition of perfection, I think, is a moment in time. And it depends on the economic factors at play. Different processors may pay different ways for their milk, and so that changes what that picture might be on certain farms, and different farm operations, different housing systems. So I think that perfection really is sort of in the eye of the beholder and needs to be on a farm-to-farm basis, but it's a moment in time and it will continue to change.
Paul Larmer is the 2024 International Person
of... You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The University of Missouri goes all in on regenerative agriculture. Next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Missouri University Center for Regenerative Agriculture has attracted more than $40 million in grants to make agriculture more resilient in Missouri and beyond. Rob Myers heads the center.
We have these challenging times when food can be in short supply. And as we're facing more extreme weather, more severe droughts, other types of storms that are causing problems for food production, we can't count as much on having that regular food supply as we did in the past. So that's why it's really important to add resiliency to our farming systems. And if we do that, then we go forward, we see these challenging weather conditions, we'll be better able to deal with that and maintain our food supply, and hopefully keep food affordable for everyone.
Josh Payne is embracing resilient ag practices on his Concordia, Missouri farm.
Growing up here, I had no special attachment to this place or to this land. What happened eventually, when I kind of caught the soil health bug, we realized, man, land regeneration may be one of the most valuable jobs that we have on earth. If you can get soil right, then your crops are more profitable. If you can get soil right, then your animals and everything are more healthy.
The Center for Regenerative Agriculture has farmers controlling hundreds of thousands of farm acres in the state on the path to a more resilient future. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Big Show, Brady Ewing, former Badger, talking about Badger football. Also the author of Out of the Darkness, the story of Aaron Rodgers, Ian O'Connor. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CD Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The dock workers